Hi, this is Claire, one of your mum mates. Just here to remind you that you're not alone. Yes, it's tough, but you're doing far better than you think. Now, I know you're a mum, but you're important too. And if you're feeling like you don't know who you are anymore or find yourself craving a new chapter after having kids, I'm here to help you. Oh, and tell your mum mates, this might just help them too. Good morning. I am incredibly excited to talk to Katie this morning, who will hopefully be joining us soon. Good morning. Love it when I get alerts that I'm going live. Good morning. Hi there. Hi. Good morning. I can see Katie is on, so hopefully she is able to join us. Larissa, I swear you're on every live. You're amazing. It flashed up like you were coming in, Katie, and then is it working?
Hi, morning.
Ooh, I'm cropped off the camera. There we go. Hi, how are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday. Before we start, Katie, as you know, I've got a poorly little one at home, and I did say to Katie, he's just woken. So he's at my feet playing with some toys. I've got a bottle of milk and all sorts, but we're a bit grouchy because we're under the weather. So I'm so sorry if we get interrupted or if I need to go. It's mum life, I'm afraid.
Yeah, that's it. And it never ends, does it? Yeah.
No, but I'm just so sorry, Katie, because I double booked you, so I had to change that. And now this, it's just not fair. So I sincerely apologise.
Fine, it's fine.
But how are you? Are you okay?
I'm great, thank you. Yeah, I had a really nice Mother's Day. It can be a bit like hit or miss sometimes, can't it? But actually, yesterday was one of the better ones. Yeah. So yeah, feeling good, ready and energised for this week, which is nice.
Oh, nice. That's the way to start a Monday. I always feel like if you start a Monday on a good footing, on a great day, usually the rest of the week sort of follows through, doesn't it? So we'll go with that. So it would be lovely to introduce you, Katie. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
And then we can So I'm Katie. I live in Bournemouth, so down in the sunny south coast. Normally, it's actually not too bad.
I'm always so envious of seeing you like by the beach, the little one down. Oh, it just looks so lovely. I've always wanted to live by the coast, and then I moved inland to the Midlands. Didn't really work, so.
It's good for the soul being by the beach. It definitely is. I try and see the ocean maybe once a day if I can. But I basically am a metaphorical handhold. That's how I would describe myself for women going through transitions in life. So whether that be divorce, separation, co-parenting issues, or it could be the other end when they might have had a harmonious separation or divorce and they're ready to date people or step parenting or, you know, midlife wobbles, I call them, I suppose. And we all have them.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. I like that, midlife wobbles. Yes, because I think that's a really good way to describe it, because it's not always as you imagined or as you planned. So
no, it's not the fairy tale sometimes, and I suppose, you know, we all want to be a Disney princess, don't we? And I had high expectations as anyone else does, and yeah, my life now, it just isn't what I had envisioned or has as I ever imagined. However, now in hindsight, I wouldn't change any of it. It was really tough, it was really raw, there were some, you know, really hardcore moments, but I'm stronger for it now, and I have better communication. I think I'm a better mum because I get a little moment off and then I don't know, I just can rest because we're a co-parent. So yeah, it's funny, isn't it? I throw you those curveballs and they end up being blessings.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I spoke to a lovely lady called Rachel a couple of weeks ago now, who started a jam business, and it's really similar. We were talking about her looking back. Excuse me, I do have a little one playing at my feet if anyone's joining in for the noise. And she was talking about, you know, really looking back and joining the dots of how she got to where she was with her jam business. She started as a teacher, and she was saying looking at her childhood and the things that we can go through really helps to build the person that we are now. And like you're saying as well, the midlife oddballs that happen to us can still Yeah, it shows how it shapes and can help us to grow as well.
And they're part of our journey, and as much as we kind of, you know, won't want to talk about them, won't want to touch on them, I do think time's a healer, and when, you know, if you're in the thick of anything right now, then, you know, it is hard, and, you know, I'm not taking that away. But in hindsight, you know, when you are past the majority and you've dealt with some of the trauma and you've processed it, then I think you will be able to look back on it with some fondness, because like you said, you have become the strong, independent, fearless human, and then that is great. If you've got children, you're just role modeling to them how positive that you know, you can be in your own skin, and show them that, yeah, girl power is a real thing, hey?
Girl power and fearless. I love that word, fearless, that you've used. Absolutely, because I think and I imagine the women that you're working with, Katie, and helping, I think no matter what the circumstances, the idea of starting a new chapter or a fresh start or going into something new or life really changing must be a very daunting experience for many women.
Yeah.
So what would you say to someone that is in that position where they're about to embark on a new chapter, whatever that may look like, and might be finding it particularly daunting or quite fearful of changing?
Well, the unknown is scary, and it's scary for anyone, and change is scary too. However, I would say that sometimes the fear of the unknown is worse than the actual unknown. And, you know, you might be feeling really anxious about something, and when you get there, you're like, oh, actually, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So the first thing that I would say is just to accept that you are on a bit of a roller coaster. There'll be days when you are flying high and you'll be like, you know, hands up in the air waving. And there will be days where you'll be at rock bottom, not even thinking, how am I going to get up? How am I going to get the kids to school? You know, and almost just strapping in, because you've got to just go through it, and you've got to go through those emotions. So I say to some clients that emotions is energy in motion, and whatever you are feeling, you will go through it. It will pass. It's always a phase, as it is, you know, when you have young children, you think, oh my goodness, and then it's always a phase. It always passes. So it's just almost just to kind of strap in and accept that you are on that journey. And I think acceptance is huge. Acknowledging your part in the role that you've had to play in, you know, whatever turbulence or relationship breakdown is, even if it might not be your fault, there'll still be things that you have done or could have done or should have done. And it's about accepting where you're at right now, all of those feelings that have gone before, not kind of dampening down, or, you know, because there would have been good times in relationship or in that marriage, or, you know, whatever the situation, there would have been good moments. So you just can't see them, you know, when you're in the thick of it. So I think it's just about accepting and honoring where you're at, really.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you, Katie. I like that word, accepting, as well. And you mentioned there about the days when, yes, you're on a high and things are going well, and then those days that are feel like rock bottom, or the emotions are perhaps quite heavy. Do you have any advice for anyone who, we all have them, don't we? We all have those days where, and again, for a variety of reasons, having young children, life is busy and full on as a parent, and perhaps a parent about to embark and start a new chapter. Those days when the emotions are feeling quite heavy, do you have any advice for someone in that situation who perhaps today has woken up and the emotions are right at the surface?
I think you've just got to get it out in any which way.
Yeah.
I bet that's hard when you've got young children around the time. I am an emotional being, and I don't always hide that from Walter. Some, you know, not everybody would agree with that. Some people kind of put on a brave face and then they'll break down in private. I'm not saying I'm an emotional wreck in front of my son the whole time, but, you know, if I'm having a bad day, I would communicate that with him. You know, mummy's feeling a bit sensitive right now, or, you know, mummy's feeling a bit tired, and it might mean that I'm a bit sensitive and I'm a bit emotional, so I'm going to take it easy. So, you know, whether that be your loved ones, your children, your friends, your family, I would say to kind of just be super honest, be honest with yourself. Take out anything in the diary that you don't have to do in those real low days. Yeah. And I know this is so boring, but I would say drinking water, taking care of yourself, getting out. For me, it would be going to the beach. You know, if I'm feeling energized, then maybe I'll go for a run. If not, it'll just be like a walk. But I think getting those emotions out, so whether that be crying, Walter and I love a scream in a pillow. I've done some breath work. That's really good for releasing. And you know, Ellie, who I go, the class I go to, Ellie loves, maybe you guys should follow her. She's great. She does like laughing, and then you'll be crying 1 minute and then you're screaming into a pillow, and it's just getting it out. Because again, if it's moving through your body, you're shifting that energy. So it sounds so boring, but just the basics. Journaling's great because again, that's, you're writing, so you're processing and you're getting it out. And you know, when you're going through trauma, it's your trauma, it's your heartbreak, it's your drama, and it feels big to you. And even though you've got loads of friends, you know, they've all got their stuff going on as well. So sometimes I find if I do that first, rather than calling up my sister, calling up my mum, calling up my friends to have a rant, and I journal through it and I try and work through it myself before, then when I come to have that in conversations, which are really important, it's a process conversation, actually get more value out of advice, or you know, any wisdom that they may have to offer.
I love that. Thank you, Katie. I'm just going to apologize again for anyone tuning in, the noise. I have a one-year-old who's not very well, playing at my feet, who's just emptying containers at the moment, so I'm so sorry, Katie, but yes, thank you for everything. Anyone tuning in thinking that I've got drummers in the background, it's not one-year-old with a bucket. Brilliant, thank you, Katie. Yeah, and I think I used to be one of those people who used to pride myself on almost saying like, oh, I never cry, thinking that that was a good thing, you know, I'm tough and never cry and that sort of thing. But actually learning to process the emotions, and when you're upset or when you're overwhelmed or any whatever the emotions might be, particularly going through motherhood, to allow them to come and sort of allow them to come, sort of process them, acknowledge them, and then allow them to pass as well. Because like you said, it really is energy and motion as well, and they do pass through, don't they? So and it's all right to show them, it's all right to ring your friend or whatever as well in those moments. So thank you. So anyone who's, again, you know, looking at starting a new chapter, this whole live series is all about speaking to incredible women who support women or inspire women to start a new chapter for themselves, whatever that might look like. Sorry, someone's wanting their bottle of milk. I'm sitting on my knee. excuse us.
Hello, darling.
He grabs for the phone. So yeah, anyone who's looking at starting a new chapter can often feel quite overwhelmed as just how much there is to do, whether it's starting a business or going through a separation or just decide I'm going to go on a fitness journey, whatever their new chapter looks like, that overwhelm of there's just so much to do, it's such a big mountain to climb. Would you have any advice for them, Katie?
I think I'm a Capricorn, so I find lists and to-do lists and routine really beneficial. And I think, you know, everyone on your page will be mothers as well. And I think naturally we are in that routine of either nap time if they've got young children, you know, bath time, or whether it be school routines and things like that, even the summer holidays. So I think whatever it is that you want to do, I'm clients on reverse engineering their goals of where they want to be. So it's almost thinking about the big picture and thinking, okay, well, you know, breaking it down so it's not overwhelming, and just picking one or two things to add into your daily routine. One piece of advice that I would have is to attach it to something that you already do. So whether it be that you want to meditate, okay, well, when the alarm goes off, could it be that you do it then, or you know, something you're doing, if you're cleaning your teeth, do you want to then do your workout then, or I don't know, even if it's just drinking more water whenever you answer an email, just it's like attaching it to something. And then habit stacking. And I think sometimes we, in a world where instant gratification is a thing, we don't appreciate always the consistency and the hard work. And sometimes if it's a new habit, it will feel hard, it will feel tricky to do. If you're maybe starting a business and you're not used to posting on social media, yeah, again, like, you know, when, how could you attach that, and how could you figure out something that would make that manageable for you? And then before you know it, that will be part of your daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly routine. And then you're just rinsing and repeating, and then you can just be adding more things in as you go. So, yeah, and things are scary, you know, like starting a business, doing, you know, speaking to an accountant, for example. divorcing, speaking to a solicitor, moving house, like they are really big things. Mm. And some of them, you know, might feel daunting and they might feel overwhelming. But if you break it down and speak to somebody who knows, you know, what they're doing, if they've moved house or they have a business or a mentor of some sort, you know, there are people out there that will help you. And it's just about doing a process, I think.
Yeah.
And that's simplifying it a lot. I understand that there's all the emotions that go with it, isn't there?
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Habits later.
No. Habits, sorry, I'm just keeping an eye on the manual. Habit stacking has been huge for me, a huge game changer. Wish I knew about it sooner. But for myself, so just to give some context for anyone watching, I had Rafi, my youngest, he's 1 and a few months now. And when I had him, I just felt this overwhelming feeling of feeling lost and just didn't know who I was. I was a mum of three, but it was like, is this it? Is this, like, what's happened to me? Missing my old self, just that lost identity, which so often happens with women, doesn't it? And getting out of that and finding myself again was habit stacking. That has been the biggest game changer for me. So I began to look at who was the person that I wanted to be. I got into the habit of getting to know myself again when possible with 2 children to have some alone time. I did, got to know myself, and I realized that I wanted to be the kind of person who, looking after myself, looking after my body with nutrition and even moving my body for exercise, that was going to be just part of my daily routine. I was going to be that kind of person. So once I decided that, I was then able to go on my stuck to strong journey of, and I used habit stacking to implement that as well, because life is busy. And as you can hear, I've got a little one at home with me today. Adding a new habit to a habit that I've already got really helped me to stay consistent. So for me, my biggest one, excuse me.
Go and get him, yeah.
He's wanting out to escape, aren't you? Of course you are. So for me, yeah, that I get up every morning anyway, because I've got 3 children, and no matter what time it is, I would always get up and get dressed before I went downstairs. And it was, I would always put on my gym clothes. I'm going to get up and get dressed anyway. I would put on my trainers and my leggings just to get, I'm so sorry about
this. Don't worry, just sort him out.
Put on my trainers and my leggings, because then it was more likely that I'd find the opportunity to do some sort of workout.
Baby, not there. That's not in it for me.
I'm so sorry.
No, please. It's
habit stacking for me definitely worked, helped me to be consistent. And then because I had the exercise clothes on, I was finding the opportunity to exercise, and that really helped me, just by it became a non-negotiable. And now I get up and I put those gym clothes on, whether the exercise happens or not, it just makes me feel really good about myself.
Putting yourself first and you're making yourself a priority, you know. Yeah. Around you are seeing that, aren't they? Like your children seeing you do that, and then you feel better after. I meditate, and I've done it off and on for years, but I started and I'm like, right, I'm gonna do this daily, a couple of years ago. And now if I, you know, Walter wakes up early and he comes in to see me, that's my son, if I'm meditating, I've got my headphones in, he just will lie next to me and accept that, oh, mummy's meditating, because that's just normal. But there are times where that isn't normal, and you know, that does feel really alien, doesn't it? But yeah. That part of your routine, I think. So anyone going through some sort of change, I think, is accepting that it might feel uncomfortable. Some days you might not want to do the thing, but you have to just do it, because then that's going to make you who you want to be, and that's what you're aiming for.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Katie, and apologies, everyone. It's just a bit tricky, not very well today, so he's a bit grouchy, aren't we, buddy? So I want to make sure that we cover everything, because the time goes so fast. Thank you, Katie. So yeah, actually, that leads me on to something I was going to ask about. How do women make sure that they're looking after themselves when they're looking after children and going through some sort of transition into some sort of new chapter, however that might be? Are there any things that you can recommend for busy, overwhelmed women, how they can look after themselves?
So I think it just comes down to priorities, and it comes down to balance. And actually, I've always prided myself upon balance in this business and another business that I run. And as it all comes down to boundaries. And
yeah.
that is it. that's the bottom line. It's just boundaries, and it's about balance and people accepting that. And I think it's about you owning your voice enough to put your boundaries in place with kindness.
Yeah.
Always with kindness. So then people know where they stand. There's a great author and speaker called Lisa Nichols, and she says, if your line isn't deep enough in the sand, then that's your issue. Like, if people are crossing your line, okay, it's because your sand isn't deep enough. And that stuck with me, because I'm like, yeah, like, nobody else is going to carve out the time.
Yeah.
To do it. Yeah. So yeah. Whether I don't know, starting a new business is super exciting, but you're answering emails at midnight and you're burning the candles at both ends and having to. It's like, you know, that is not okay. So then it could be, okay, well, what simple thing could you do? Could you send out an email responder? Could you, you know, let your clients know? Could you, even if you are sending them out, could you schedule them to go at 9 o'clock the next morning, so your clients or your business partners or whoever, like, just don't know that you're working that late? Could it be to your children that, and I get if you're solo parenting, you know, this is quite hardcore, but then it's about giving up the guilt of maybe to have half an hour in the bath, you might need to do some screen time or something. That, like, I love going for a run. I have my son every other weekend, you know, he comes with me, he'll go on his scooter, and it's like, well, you just have to, you know, make it happen. Yeah. And sometimes moaning the whole way and it won't be that enjoyable, but other days it's fine and it's fun. And I think, you know, if I didn't say to him, right, come on, get your stuff on, go out for a scoot, he wouldn't say that, would he? He'd be happy doing what he wants to do. And I think that just goes with everyone.
Yeah.
So I think it's just about honouring yourself. And I suppose as a mum, often you are at the bottom of the pile, but essentially you're not serving anyone if you're pouring from an empty cup. I say this analogy to clients all the time, actually. If you imagine a beautiful teacup, a really like porcelain one with the saucer underneath, all intricate and all gorgeous, you know, you can't pour from an empty cup. So if the teacup is completely empty, then it's just, you're just no good to anyone. So what I say is, you want to be so overflowing that your saucer is full of the tea, overflowing so much, and then you're feeding everyone else from your saucer. So I know it takes a while to get your head around it all, but when you do prioritize yourself, then you just won't ever stop.
Yeah.
And in my situation, I think it coincided, all this journey was with my separation and my then divorce, but it was having time to myself, then not knowing what to do with myself, because I was like, well, who am I? Without being a wife, without being a mother, without being, you know, sister, all of these labels that we put on ourselves. And I just got comfortable with being me, I think. So now there's certain things that maybe people think are selfish, but I just think I wouldn't be able to function as a business owner, as a partner, as a mum. Mm. I don't know. I just think, yeah. But maybe that's a lot of work and a lot of coaching, a lot of therapy on my part that's enabled me to prioritise myself as well.
Yeah.
Not as well as everyone, you know, on the same.
Yes, yeah. That it's not at the detriment of your children, family, by you taking time out to be by yourself, whether it's alone time. I just talked about this morning, you know, alone time. It's, I wouldn't have dreamt of taking myself out for a 10-minute walk a couple of years ago. I would never have thought of it. I had this idea in my head that to be a good mum, I had to be there 24/7, you know, totally devoted. I'm at the bottom of the pile, and just completely forgetting that no, I'm important too, and I have needs, and I matter. And I think it's that, and it's taken me, I've been a mum for 9 years now, and it's only in the last year that I've discovered that for myself. We're here, the experts talking about it, about, you know, exercising more for your mindset rather than for losing weight. We hear all these different things about self-care is so good for us, but I had in my like in my head this idea that it made me lesser of a mum choosing to, you know, needing a break or wanting to have some self-care or wanting to have some alone time. And actually it's not the case. It actually makes me a better mum
when conditioning and our upbringing and what we see on media. And I do think that is shifting. Like, well, to seven now, so my journey co-parenting has been, you know, really since then. And I think, like, back then, that, you know, there wasn't as much about self-care or honoring yourself. And I think now the conversations are more freeing, more open, and quite They just acknowledge it a lot more. So I think nowadays, maybe like 20 years ago, if you said I'm going out for a walk, people would look at you like crazy. Whereas now, if you explain, I just need a minute. My head's about to explode. Like I am, and I have those conversations with Walter sometimes. I mean, I had it this morning. I was like, I don't want to shout at you, but you're pushing me to my limit, and mummy just needs to, just clean your teeth. Mummy's having a minute. So, and again, I think the more you put your boundaries in place and communicate that with kindness, like I said, it doesn't need to be a narky thing, the better you get it. It's like anything, you just got to practice it, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that reminds me of, oh gosh, it was a few Sundays ago now, and my lovely neighbours were going out for a run. Good for them. And they were like, I was bundling three children into the car, and they said, oh, you going anywhere nice? And I was like, no. I think it was about 7:30 in the morning on a Sunday, and I was like, no, we're just going for a drive because we just had one of those mornings. Sometimes I will do a walk. Sometimes we just all get in the car and we just need to go for a drive and get out the house. And it was just, and I think they're both mums, so they get it. They could
Yeah.
see.
I think
Got someone right in mind.
really important. And actually, going back to an earlier thing you said about how can you get through emotions, sometimes just changing your state and changing your environment. And I'm an NLP practitioner, and that is definitely something that I do with my clients. So actually, like you said, going out for that 10-minute walk, you think it might be nothing, but just because you're changing your environment, it switches something in your mindset, and that enables you to work through whatever emotion or feeling or frustration or whatever it is that you're feeling a lot quicker because you're just yourself out. We do it with kids, and why would we not do it with
I
ourselves?
know, it's so funny, isn't it? It's these things we do to the children. We make sure they've got their bottle of water to hand all the time. We make sure, when they're getting cranky, it's like, oh, they're hungry, or they haven't had any fresh air today, they need to run around, all these different things. We forget to do it to ourselves. Wait. Again, back to saying about that alone time, I always say, if you're gonna have, if you've managed to get some alone time, because it's not always possible, but when it does happen, get out the house. Make sure you get out the house, because if you get alone time, you're in the house, you'll end up doing a mindless scroll, which sometimes we want to do. But if not, you end up thinking of, right, what needs doing, or you end up mopping the floors, or catching up on jobs, or you end up not doing anything at all because you don't know what to start, and then it's a waste of time. But I always say, just there's magic in leaving the house, that new set of scenery. I've got a place near us, it's a 2-minute drive, and it's the most beautiful walk next to open water again. And I know there's lots of positives, aren't there, about walking near water. But it's just my little place that I go, and I went yesterday in the rain, and it just can make such the difference. I always say it's like pressing my reset button. It's almost like, right, let's just start again.
I had this conversation actually with someone the other day because they said that they had alone time and then they went to Tesco's, and I was like, but that's not,
Yeah,
that's
that's
okay.
down.
And they were like, right, okay. And I was like, well, yeah, because that's a household chore essentially. Like I was like, no, that doesn't count. Like nipping to the shops or nipping here or picking up running errands when you've got time away from your children, like that's not self-care, is it?
No, it's still that mental workload. And I had this chat with a client who, she again had never thought of the importance of having alone time. So we were really talking about it, and she decided, right, she booked it in and sorted it, so she was able to do it. And she was like, I'm gonna go upstairs and just do a box hair dye just to make me feel good about myself. And I was like, right, excellent. And then what? And she was like, oh, I don't know. And I was like, well, if you've got freshly dyed hair, you need to go out and show the public, whether you go for a walk or go for a coffee or meet a friend. Yes, it'll be lovely, but I know if you're anything like me, while your dye's on, you'll be tidying the bathroom, you'll be wiping around, you'll be, you need to get out the house. It's so good for you. I was wanting to move on to something, Katie, just about, particularly for women, and again, any sort of new chapter. I think so often, I do apologize, so often we do, many of us do worry about what other people think, and I imagine that perhaps, does that come up in your line of work as well?
All the time, and comparison, just comparison in general. So either what other people think or what you think about the situation. Yeah, all the time. We're only human.
Yeah. Do you have any tips or advice that you would say to someone who's perhaps not taking action or not moving forward because of the fear of what other people think?
Sometimes we can speak to too many people, in my view.
Yeah.
Get piece of advice, especially when it's something that's unknown and it's a bit scary and you haven't done before, because you're just soaking up everyone's advice from all different areas. And I think sometimes maybe if it's in a business sense, like they might not be your ideal client, or if it's from a relationship point of view, like I remember speaking to people who were like really happily married and they had no clue like what I was going through, but I'd be taking their advice in that moment as gospel. And I'm like, in hindsight, I'm like, why did I listen to so many people?
Yeah.
And I think I'd stopped doing that, and I think having a plan, and again, Capricorn, I think got in like chaos and that unknown, having something, a bit of structure, does for me, was really, really helpful. Whether that be nap time for a baby, you know, routine like that. I mean, that's how I got through that feed by feed, and I kind of thrived on that really. And then, you know, once that had evolved, then it moved on to something else, like another goal or another thing. But I think, yeah, just keeping focused and staying in your lane,
Yeah.
not asking too many people's opinion. Like, I would say, like, have your inner circle that you know are going to give you good advice that's necessary, that will tell you when you're wrong, will check you when you need to be checked. Because, you know, going through something scary or a big transition, you know, we can like wallow a bit into self-pity and become a victim. So you need those people like, no, come on, you be strong, put your big girl pants, all of those things.
Yeah.
But I would say, like, just to have a select few people and almost not ask too many opinions. And yeah, and follow a plan. But
Love that, you know, because actually it reminded me, this is a video that I'm recording for my business mum. So I have an online course for women wanting to start a business. We're just going to empty my drawer now. Wanting to start a business online and using social media. And this is actually a tip I'm wanting to share with them this week. And it's the same that when you're starting a business, starting the unknown, going through some chapter, and again, asking, it could be the advice of your friends, or it could be following accounts on social media. And so often, okay, I'm going to start a business about, let's say, I'm a sleep coach, and you end up following all the sleep coaches on Instagram, and then you follow all the business coaches and all the social media coaches, and it just gets too noisy because there are too many other people's plans. And the comparison again kicks in, doesn't it? You see other sleep coaches that have been doing it for 10 years and you're on week one, and you can compare yourself thinking, well, why am I not there? But then you're also getting all the gurus sharing their expertise and advice, and it's too much, it's overwhelming. And sometimes, like you say, you've got to put the boundaries in place, and you don't want everyone's opinion. Actually, shut out all the noise, get your head down, and it's almost like tunnel vision. And you know, I actually did this when I was running Play Hooray about 5 years ago. I was following all the play accounts doing similar to me and thinking it was good and inspiring and supporting each other, which it was, but I also found it really triggering. And I remember being on holiday, sat by the pool with my little boy, and as you do, go on Instagram and have a little scroll, and someone posted a really great play activity. And in that moment, I thought, what am I doing on holiday? I should be at home working and getting on. And I was like, whoa, hang on. This is out of control. I'm so busy thinking actually that they're inspiring me, that actually they weren't. It was more of a hindrance. And sometimes when you shut out that noise, and yeah, just put your head down and focus on, like you said, and you focus on your own lane.
Yeah, just stay in your lane, definitely. With co-parenting, and no one in my family was in my situation, so they were all coming from a place of love and kindness. And Harry going to a therapy after we separated to make a plan of how we wanted and then they got to a point where I just said to them again, like, I'm finding it a bit overwhelmed. This is how I want to do it. This is how we're going to do it. Like, you know, is everyone on board? You know, I don't need anyone's opinions anymore. And years later, I think it was like 3 years later, I remember having, what did your family think? And I said, well, I don't know. They never gave me their opinion. Oh, okay, right, that's really interesting. And then 3 years later, I back in our opinion, and it's kind of still wasn't helpful, even, you know, in hindsight. So I think sometimes, yeah, knowledge is power, but other times, you know, the doing and the action, the consistency is more powerful. You can have too much information and then not know what to do with that.
Yeah, and it's the same with parenting, isn't
Yeah.
it? I want out, you become a mum, and you get everyone's opinion. Your baby's not sleeping through the night, and everyone's got an opinion about it, or something that you should be trying or not doing. And it's sometimes, again, putting those healthy boundaries in place that just, you know, that you've got to reassure yourself that you're doing your best, aren't you?
And just having faith in yourself and listening to yourself, tuning in and being like, okay, well, you know, that account is doing that. Okay, what could I do differently? That mum is doing that. What could I do differently? This is my situation. Like, how do I feel? Like, what do I want to do? How do I want to parent? How do, you know, and actually just like sometimes we just forget about our own intuition and our own energy field that we've got within us. And why not? We're stardust just the same as everyone else. So just why is our opinion not as valid as somebody else's? Yeah.
And it's having that self-confidence, isn't it? Particularly when it's,
yeah,
when it's new, when it's a new chapter or becoming a parent for the first time. Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Well, Katie, I can't tell you, thank you so much for your patience. I've got a little one, making boys and everyone else watching. I just wanted to end because you're a busy mum with an incredible business. So alongside the coaching, we didn't even get onto it, Katie, but you've also got your dance school as well. So how you do it all, I do not know. But I just wondered, how are you looking after you, and do you have any goals for yourself this year, Katie?
Yeah, so do you know what? I haven't actually got my bracelet on, but I have a word of the year each year. So I had, and then I had fun, and that was a good year. And then I've had all sorts of different things, but this year is foundations. So okay. I've got the foundations in place. So, and it is a bit boring. It's drinking the water, it's doing the exercise and stuff. So I just feel like I've booked myself a PT, go there once a week with my girlfriends, and we have a giggle. We ache like hell the next day, but that's super fun. A running club, which is good. And again, if I've got Walter, he comes with me. It's all about foundations this year. So that's my goal. And really from a business sense, like with the doctor, or into some people, but it's onboarding and systems and like just getting all those foundations in place so we can thrive and essentially become more hands off in the business processes, so then we can deliver better customer services, and then I've got more time for my coaching clients. And just, you know, because I work it all around school pickups and school holidays, so it is a juggle. And if I look down at my to-do list now, there's so much to do. But when you run your own business and when you're a mum, the to-do list never changed. Like, they're always going to be there. So I think over the years of, I've had my business 12 years now and been a mum for 7, so I think I've just accepted the fact that there will be things that will fall off the list and won't get done. And I think the things that are a priority always do get done somehow. I wonder how. Yeah. But I just think, like, it's just, I think it's about progress and not perfection.
Yes. Oh yes,
more than anything, when you're in a new chapter or starting something new or looking after yourself, like, you know, you might, I don't know, it could be a simple thing, like you want to drink 2 liters of water, but one day you only drink 1 liter. I mean, hey, it's not the end of the world. Like, move on. It's about, I suppose it's about looking forward, and that's what coaching is, isn't it? It's about looking forward and stepping into the version of you that you want to be. So thank you for asking about me. That's so nice.
Katie, thank you so much. You really are a real center. I absolutely adore following you, and like I say, I get overwhelmed with jealousy when I see you by the beach. Yeah. It just looks lovely. Not so long ago we were talking and you were going to go to a beach party. I was like, oh my goodness, that just sounds
fabulous. There's one on Saturday. We're going on Saturday. Okay. It's really cool because it starts at 4 o'clock and it finishes at 9 o'clock. So for mums, that's just like the best thing. I mean, I've not got Walter this weekend, but still, I can't handle a hangover anyway. So that's great.
No one's got time for that anymore. But Katie, thank you so much. Again, I sincerely apologise to anyone watching, all the noise, and thank you, Katie, for carrying on. Well, someone's been a little bit grouchy. She's just not himself today. But like we say, you know, this is mum life, isn't it? Trying to do it. And I just couldn't miss our chat and our conversation after we've been talking about doing it for weeks. So if anyone is looking for support, I know you've got your lovely, your programmes as well. Mm-hmm. You want to tell people the services?
So one-to-one coaching, I think when you're going through big trauma, life changes, it's just handy to have, like I said at the beginning, like a metaphorical handhold, somebody that's neutral, somebody that can offer, well, I don't even offer advice, it's more about, you know, you dialing down into what it is that you want, or, you know, my clients want. So, but it's called Pivot. Because again, I think we put so much pressure on ourselves that we've got to live the fairy tale life. And actually, all you might need is a little pivot to get yourself on track. Yeah. I adore it. It's 12 weeks. It's, yeah, I feel privileged to be able to facilitate it for my clients, because the journey that they go on from beginning to end is just, it's just magic. I just ask the right questions. I'm really grateful that I get to do this for a job.
Oh, amazing. And thank you for everything that you do, Katie. I know you're supporting so many women out there, and it really is much appreciated with all your content and your services too. So thank you for giving up your time with us today. It's been lovely to chat to you, and yeah, hopefully one day if I'm ever down in Bournemouth, yeah, I'll give you a
beach together. Yeah. Go for a seat.
I'll be there with that beach, yeah, party.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Katie. Lovely to chat to you. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Lovely to see you. And I will catch up with you soon. Bye-bye. Thanks, Katie.
Thank you for listening today. I really hope you found it helpful. And perhaps you could share it with one of your mum mates and they might find it helpful too. Oh, and I'd love to be mum mates with you. So please, sell me a selfie of you listening along. I'd love to get to chat to you. And if you could leave a review, that would be awesome. Send me a little screenshot of your review and I will send you a discount code to use on our site. Bye.